Are we willing to consider the cost? Are we willing to surrender all? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Today, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. We're going to discuss the great cost that we need to consider. If you're 3 years old or under, the playroom is down that hallway. You're welcome to go there during the message today. If you're a little bit older than that, but you still want something to do, the children's bulletins are just outside those doors. And I've heard they have snacks in them. So enjoy that. As I watch Bob Capel go out to go get one of those now. There's a granola bar? How many of you have had or have a piggy bank at home? How many? Right on. This is Cooper's, and it's not a piggy. It's cute, but it's not a piggy. But that's his little piggy bank, and I borrowed it. When I was little, I had one too. It was a little bit different, though. It was a little bit longer, a little bit taller, and it was made of a plastic. And you could see through it if you held it up to the light. So when it sat on the dresser and the light came through the window, you could tell exactly what level you were at, right? There was no surprise, like, yep, 3/4 full. You could watch it. When I was little, I had a vision with my piggy bank. I knew exactly what I was going to use it for. Take a guess. What was I going to use my piggy bank for one day? Bicycle? Bigger. Think bigger. A tractor? Think bigger. When I was little, did I hear house? Okay, I was like 4 years old. I wasn't thinking house. That would have been a pretty mature 4-year-old. But good guess, though. I was thinking Disneyland. I was always thinking Disneyland. I was always thinking that. So the silly little piggy bank that I had was Disneyland. I always had that in my mind. Now, let's be frank with each other for a minute. Young Darren, with a little piggy bank, collecting nickels, dimes, and pennies. Was I ever going to Disneyland? No. There wasn't a hope. There wasn't a hope. Did I know that? Not a chance. So as a little guy, you just keep filling it up. You keep filling it up because one day, I'm going to go to Disneyland. So all of a sudden, your dimes and pennies and nickels add up, and you've got a dollar. Soon you've got three. Then you've got six. Maybe you've got $10. And in your mind, you're thinking, I'm halfway to Disneyland. I've got $10. You got to consider the cost. As a young man, you're not thinking through the cost, right? You have no idea that a plane ticket can be $500, $800. $1,000, depending where you're flying. You have no idea the cost of food, the cost of hotels, the cost of gate admission, the cost of souvenirs. You have no idea. You're just thinking $10, halfway to Disneyland. That's all you're thinking. In the story of Luke 14, a large crowd is starting to gather and follow Jesus. But there was a problem. They were not willing to consider the cost. They were following Jesus. And Jesus was performing great miracles. He was multiplying bread. He was healing people who were sick. He was calming storms, walking on water. And people began to follow because they wanted a piece of this. But were they willing to consider the cost? They thought, if I just follow Jesus, I can have everything I've wanted. I can have my Disneyland. If I just follow Jesus, there'll be more bread and more miracles and more healings. I'll follow him. He will be my piggy bank, and I'll just keep drawing out of him and drawing out of him. But they weren't willing to consider the cost. They weren't willing to consider the cost. Let's open our Bibles. We're going to start reading at verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25 says this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." These large crowds are following him. They're not considering what they're going to have to give up. And Jesus challenges them, not because he was disappointed in people that wanted to follow him, but I think you're going to see that there was disappointment in their lack of commitment. He challenges them on the closest thing to our hearts, our family. And that's the second point of my sermon. You'll see on my second slide, the temptation is to put our family in the place of God. And I'll tell you what, I'm 27 years old. I've been married for almost 5 years and I've had a kid for 2. I know so little about running a family. What God is challenging me on more and more is that they cannot take his place. Because when they begin to take his place, when they become the center of my adoration, when my purpose in life becomes loving and providing for them ahead of being obedient to my Lord, when they assume the throne of my heart and my Lord gets demoted to second place, things fall apart. He challenges them. Your father, your mother, your children, your wife, and brothers and sisters, if you truly love them, they'll never be first place in your heart. I got invited over, along with my family and some other wonderful people, to Ryan and Rachel's yesterday. And that was so much fun. And what stood out to me was we were sitting around the table and it was time to have cake. And we decided that 4-year-olds, right, weren't allowed to have cake. Where's the 3-year-olds? And then we had to ask all the kids, how old are you? Because certain ages weren't allowed, so 4-year-olds couldn't have cake. So one kid, this many, I'm this many. And another one, I'm this many. And then the one, I'm this many. And these little kids, you know, we're sitting there and just enjoying dessert with them. And I know that I'm preparing this sermon. And I'm talking about our willingness to love our Lord and be devoted to him ahead of our own children. Man, what kind of commitment is that? What kind of commitment is that? The temptation with a piggy bank is this. You get home from a trip. Maybe a trip to the restaurant or a trip to the grocery store, and your pocket's full of coins. Now, kids, you won't understand this because you think all coins are incredible. But when you become our age, you realize there are useful coins, and then there are useless coins. So you pull them out of your pocket, and you set them on your dresser. Then you kind of separate. Come on, I'm not the only one that does this. You separate the useful coins from the useless coins. You take your toonies and your loonies, and you kind of set them in one corner of your dresser. Then there's kind of everything else. Maybe your quarters if you're going to like the car wash or something like that, but everything else pretty much goes in the drawer. Because when are you going to need a nickel? When are you going to need a dime? You're not going to. So you slide it and put it away. The temptation for these people following Jesus, these large crowds, is to give Jesus their nickels and their dimes. They're filling their piggy bank with pennies. They know that Jesus puts on an excellent show, but they won't give him any of their good coins. They're simply not committing to him. Remember, it said earlier in the book of Luke, you had to pick up your cross and walk. To pick up your cross would mean complete surrender. Because if you were carrying your cross, you were on your way to death. So if you were willing to pick up your cross and follow him, you were willing to lay down everything you have. I surrender all. Does Jesus want us to despise our families? Does Jesus want us to hate our children? No. No, the basis of God sending his son to die on the cross for us was to rescue the children of God. He does not want you to hate your children. But he does not want you to put your children in the place of him. He does not want you to place your own life in the place of him. Suppose you're building a tower. You ever built a tower before? Look at verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or the second story, look at this. Verse 31, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. You cannot be my disciples. You need to consider the cost. And our world does not understand the cost. But I'm standing in the midst of a family that does. You are here because you consider the cost. You bring your kids to Sunday school. You attend church. You're at home reading. You're at home praying. You're leading your kids through devotions. Maybe you're now a grandpa or a grandma. You're mentoring your grandchildren. You're passing that example down. You're giving generously. You're giving to the church. You're sponsoring children. You're volunteering and you're serving with your time. Are you willing to give everything up? Are you willing to build a foundation that will hold a tower? Will you put God first in your life? Are you willing to give more? What if he calls you to give everything? What if he calls you to give up your reputation? What if he calls you to give up your way of life? Give up your occupation? What if he calls you to give up your home? What if he calls you to give up your trips that you go on? What if he's calling you to give up luxury like that? What if he's asking you to give up time? Time that you spend doing stuff that you love. And the Lord says, that's time that I need from you. It's so easy to live our lives putting pennies in the piggy bank. You know, I attend church. Little penny. I go to this, little penny. God's asking for a toonie. Nope. Penny in. You know, there's certain things that we love to give to God, and there's certain things that no, I'm not going to give that away. That's mine. The Lord can't have that. That has a high place in my heart. The Lord can't have that. For some of us, it's our secret sin. We hold on to it. We don't want to let it go, or it's hard to let it go. And we know that it's going to take God's help to let it go, but we're not willing to. We're not willing to be accountable to someone. We're not willing to share our hurts with other people. We won't open up to anyone else. We keep that buried inside. That's an area of my life that God is not going to touch. Remember Pastor Nick said the other day, we invite God into our house, but we only want God in like our living room and our kitchen. But then God wants to go see the back rooms of our house. And we tell him, there's no way. There's no way you're going to get to see back there, God. You lock those doors. We're building a foundation. Our church, this is kickoff Sunday. This is the beginning of our year. We're laying a foundation of servanthood and obedience to God. Are we willing to surrender all? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We're drawing a plan. Right now, we're constructing the plan. We're drawing up the estimate for what it's going to cost us. Will we give up everything? Our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brothers, our sisters, even our own life. I have a new baby on the way, if you didn't notice that. You probably didn't. Chantel isn't really showing yet. Our baby could be coming in half an hour. Or in an hour from now. We're past our due date by a couple days, so we're waiting. When I hold that child for the very first time, do you realize the last sermon I'll have preached before I hold that baby is, am I willing to give up my children for God? And I'm going to hold that baby, and that's going to be the thought running through my head. If he's calling me, if the Lord is calling me to be obedient to him and love him and be dedicated to him and make sacrifices to him above my children, am I willing to do that? Because the temptation is to do the opposite, right? We don't have time to be in a life group. We don't have time for Sunday school. But every one of our kids plays three sports. It's like, oh, man. Like, we all have our area where our kids are the focus of our attention. And sometimes focusing on our kids pulls us away from the one that desires our attention. And I'm going to be holding this baby, maybe tonight. And I got to look at this baby, and I got to promise to him that I will always love the Lord and serve him first, and then love you second as I hold my child. I will always love you second to my God. Because my God has called me to give up everything. He wants my toonies and my loonies. He's sick and tired of pennies. That's why the government got rid of the pennies. God was sick and tired of pennies because we keep giving him pennies. So how do I look this baby in the eyes and say to my baby, I will always love you second. The Lord will always be my first love. Always. Verse 34 says, salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, the answer is it can. It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When your faith becomes no good, when your relationship with God becomes like no good salt, it's time to let it go. The question is, are you willing to lay down the foundation? Are you willing to give whatever he asks? Are you willing to make that kind of sacrifice? And I think this is a family that says yes. I think that when we sing that song, I surrender all, I think you mean it. And I think that I mean it too. And that gives me so much hope. Here, go to the last slide on the PowerPoint. I want you to look at some of these questions that I put up. What coins are you putting in the piggy bank? Are you putting in pennies with your life, or are you putting in toonies? Are you giving God your best, or are you giving him what's left over? Whether that's your time, your energy, your service, the way you save and spend your money. It says in the Bible, where our treasure is, our heart will follow it. I'm telling you. Will we sharpen one another like iron sharpens iron? If I want to get stronger, I need you to sharpen me. And if you want to grow in your faith and get stronger, whether you're 9 years old or 90 years old, we're going to sharpen each other. We're going to work together. Is it going to require sacrifice? It will. Are we going to take our next step of obedience? Are we going to continue to pray and read our Bibles? Are you going to pick up your Bible this week? Maybe you haven't read it in a long time. Will you start tomorrow? Will you pick it up? What kind of a foundation are you laying? Will you pick it up? Do we want people to come to know the Lord? Do you want to see that? I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of open space in some of these pews. Wouldn't that be amazing if some of us were able to lead our friends to the Lord, see them experience hope and joy and salvation, know the Lord the way that we do? What kind of cost is that going to be to you? What do you have to give up and surrender in order for your friends to know Jesus? Are you going to have to surrender your reputation? Surrender some of your friends that shouldn't be in your life? Are you going to have to cut back on other areas of your time? How are you going to show your friends and your family the Lord? Imagine if that's the foundation that we build. Imagine how the church will explode. We won't be able to dry out the baptism tank because we'll be pouring tubs of water in it every single Sunday. Because we'll be surrendering everything to God, everything. And people are going to see that and be drawn to that and want to know our Heavenly Father. They're going to want to know Him because they see the way we as a family lay our lives down for Him. And I see you doing that. I see you doing that. And I want to say to you, keep going. I want to say to you, press on. This is the kickoff Sunday. Right now I'm giving you a kick. And I'm saying, keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. And if it's starting to hurt, if your sacrifice for Jesus is starting to wear on you, you're doing it properly. Keep going. If you're giving so much of your finances that you're having trouble finding spending money, man, that's a neat place to be. If you're giving up so much of your time to be obedient to the Lord that your kids can't be in that third sport, how do you explain to them? God will always come first in our family. We make time for Him, and then we make time for us. Or every day when you gather your kids together and just read a couple verses of the Bible together, they go, Mom, why do we always have to do this every morning? Because God comes first. We come second. Man, don't you just want to see our city come to know the Lord and explode? Could you imagine? You know how many cities just are full of churches like ours? There's a church on every third street. Could you imagine 5,000 people or 10,000 people coming to know the Lord? Could you imagine 15,000 people coming to know the Lord in this city? Could you imagine what it'd be like? Do you imagine? But it's going to cost us, and we're going to have to surrender. We're going to have to be a family and lay our lives down. But it's going to be worth it. So as we conclude the sermon today, I want to ask some of you, are you willing to give God a toonie and not a penny? So, guess what I brought? I brought some toonies. Take a toonie. Go ahead. Make a deposit, my friend. No more pennies for Jesus, all right? It's toonies from now on. How about it? Give the Lord a toonie. He's worth it. Give Him more than a penny. The hole is right there on top. Thank you. Always give Him your best. Don't give Him the spare change, the little coins. Give Him the big coins. He's worth it. He's worth the big coins. Don't give Him the little ones. Don't do it. Ryan, give Him a toonie. He's worth it. Give Him all of your life. Don't give Him the smallest portion. Don't give Him what's left over. Man. What's your name?
Tyler.
Tyler, the Lord deserves the very best from you. Never give Him the small coins. Give Him the largest portion of your life. You'll never be disappointed in Him. Nick, come on up. I want you to come pray and close our service. We're going to go down to potluck. I want every single one of you to stay. We're a family. Families need to eat together, okay? Let's do it.
Amen. Today is September 10th. 21 years ago today,
21 years ago today, my firstborn son was born. And I had that moment when I held him in my arms and I went, this is going to be a problem. Because I felt that love, that incredible love. But at the same moment, God said to me, the best gift that you can give this little boy is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all that you are. That's the best gift that you can give him. So I've tried to do that, and I hope that you have too. Can I make you a promise here before we pray? God is asking you to give some things up. Yes, he is. Absolutely. We don't want to sugarcoat that. We understand that it's hard. But my promise to you is this. God never asks you to give something up without offering you something in its place that is worth 1,000 times more. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we are like children sitting on the shores of the ocean with pebbles in our mouths. And you come along and you want to take the pebbles out of our mouths, and we're upset because you're destroying our plans. And you have a picnic waiting for us on the beach, watermelon and Raukuchen, Lord. And we're sitting there with pebbles in our mouths. Father, I pray that we would just have that trust in you to know that you gave everything for us. You're not asking us to do anything that you didn't yourself do. You gave up your son. You counted the cost for us. And Jesus went through amazing, incredible, indescribable agony because of the joy set before him. Because he knew that everything he was giving up was going to bring about something that was far greater. And so I pray, Lord, that we would not settle for the pennies in the piggy bank or the pebbles on the beach, but that we would want all of you and give you all of us. As we fellowship this afternoon, Father, over a meal, we just pray for your blessing on that, Lord, as it gives strength to our bodies. I pray that our conversation would reflect you and that we would encourage one another and challenge one another to sharpen each other like iron sharpens irons, to spur each other on to love and good deeds, to believe the best in each other, and to remind ourselves that we have a high purpose. There's a world out there that needs to know the God that we love, their Savior, Jesus. And so, Father, we pray this morning that each one of us would just say those words in our hearts. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen.
Fears really have